Hey folks, it's Patriot Nurse. Thanks for joining me today. In this video, we're going to discuss the spiral that we're in as an economy and what the next phase is going to look like, how you can shield yourself from it, how we got here. Oh, how we got here. Friends, if you look around, people are hemorrhaging money just to live. Not to live ostentatiously, not to live a glam, jet-setting lifestyle. People are hemorrhaging money just to buy groceries, just to make rent, just to keep the lights on. And the series of circumstances that we have inherited really started a long time ago, but you're seeing the beginning phases of a nation that is ripe for revolution, and not in a good sense, for a communist revolution. If you look around, the cost of housing, whether it is to purchase a home, to rent, just to stay someplace, has gone up astronomically since 2020. Now, I'm not an economist. I can just read history. You don't have to be an economist and be able to cycle through a whole bunch of facts and figures. It may be helpful if you're trying to find a financial planner, but you don't have to be an economist or someone with a financial degree and background to understand what's going on. This is cyclical, and this is, unfortunately, the nature of history and the nature of what happens when central banks get involved in monetary supply. Fiat currency is essentially the greatest pyramid scheme that has ever been perpetrated, and it is coming to a point of reckoning. Way back during the Obama administration, the whole QE forever, it was QE1, QE2, QE3, QE4, the quantitative easing, they've been pumping money into the global dollar market for a long time. But ever since COVID, that took a J curve takeoff. And now we are reaping the effects of that, which is reflected in higher consumer inflation. And the CPI, unfortunately, the numbers came out more rosy than what people would have expected. But the CPI is not a perfect index by any means. The consumer price index calculates several things as far as inflation, but certain things it leaves out, and it doesn't really keep the pulse of what's going on the street level. When people cannot afford to buy a home, with the savings that they've managed to scrape together, particularly in the millennial generation and also Gen Z, who have been saddled by their own choice, who have been saddled with credit card debt and especially student loan debt. Saving up the principal to buy a house was something that people were just getting towards. And now, when you look at the prices of homes that have gone up, in some cases 42% from 2020, it is unsustainable and it's also untenable for people. This is a very dangerous place for our country to be right now. Going into election, obviously, people are going to be voting with their emotions, as they always are. We would like to think well of our countrymen. We would like to think that people are capable of voting with their heads instead of with their emotions, but the vast majority of humanity is not wired that way. Most people are not capable of harnessing their emotions and bridling them to make decisions in their own best interest, which is effectively how we got here in the first place. And also people getting themselves into situations that were just not wise financially. It's easy to do, and not a lot of people had good stewardship lessons taught to them early on. When you extrapolate this, they elect people who promise them free stuff and who ultimately drive their taxes up, making everybody poor. But now the situation that we're in reminds me of the Great Depression times and also Hooverville. Do you remember what Hoovervilles were? You can see them actually in the feature film, Cinderella Man. Hoovervilles were essentially these homeless camps of skilled laborers, in many cases, people who had a job, people who had an education, they had an employable skill, but the economy had shifted so drastically after the stock market crashed and had left them behind and left them for want of affordable housing. We are there, but for a different causative mechanism. We are in a similar place, I submit to you now, as we were during the times of the Hoovervilles. Now, instead of it being ramshackle put together temporary housing, shacks out of corrugated steel and scraps, although that is happening in some places, now what's being marketed to replace that are tiny home encampments and tiny home places. Now, having lived in a small home before, I can tell you that you do save in some ways. And some people are in that camp for various different reasons, you know, not necessarily financial, but from choice and minimalizing their, you know, stuff and clutter in life. But many people who are turning to these smaller homes, and we're not talking starter home, we're talking tiny homes, places of anywhere between 100 to 300 square foot. People are choosing this because they cannot afford any other option. This is a drastic rollback in standard of living. The key point to remember is that violent revolutions are typically begat by sudden changes in standards of living, whether this is because of famine, whether this is because of disease, or because of war. Whenever a population experiences a drastic shift from their previously assumed standard of living, or from the expectation they had of previous generations, that population is ripe for choosing socialism en masse, or ultimately on an accelerated pace for communist dictatorship. Now, we are several permutations removed from that here in the United States, insofar as we have a constitution that is followed and enforced. But the situation we find ourselves in right now is that your average person cannot write a check for more than a couple hundred dollars without drawing themselves into the negative. A large percentage of Americans who had previously scrimped and saved to be able to purchase their first home, they cannot afford that first home anymore because the home prices have doubled and the interest rates have gone up even more than that in many cases. What do you do with people who can't afford to live, who can't afford groceries, and who can't afford basic things? And not necessarily because they've been living beyond their means, but because the federal government, the Federal Reserve in particular, which is beyond the reach of Congress, beyond the reach of amendment, the Federal Reserve, a central bank, has pumped up our currency to be worthless. Puts people in a pretty testy position. I do not think that this economy is going to rebound. It is so chaotic right now. The thing that has proved most helpful for me that I can see as far as actualizing investments is food. You think about gains, like you don't actualize a gain until you cash out. So the way that I've cashed out gains is start cycling through my food supplies. And I remember, it's kind of ironic because I have the prices on some of the things that I purchased. Like when I was buying a pound of lentils for 68 cents a pound, now they're 98 cents to $1.08, just depending on where you're at. Like, there it is. Cycling through your food supply and looking at the amount of savings that you're realizing, but then also realizing just how little your dollar buys. If you're a wise person, I'm not giving you financial advice, I'm just asking the question here, so maybe you can ask your own financial advisors this question. If you're a wise person, where do you put your money right now? Well, if you invest in the stock market, that's risky. It always is risky. You can put it in precious metals, but there's only so much of that you can use. You can put it into a vehicle, but those are depreciating. You can put it into land, but it better be a full cash purchase because good luck trying to find a mortgage of some sort for it. You can put it into a house, but your houses are overpriced anywhere between 30 to 60% in some markets and even more in others. What does a person do who doesn't want to have their money eaten away by inflation? There are not a lot of great places to go. You've got many advisors who are the perpetual bear and the contrarians who are advising precious metals and cryptocurrencies and then also land that produces. But we are seeing massive movements right now and massive changes that when I look at it, to me, it signals to me that we are on the precipice of a major shift in the way that the world is going to be functioning. And when you interject into that the instability globally, the potential for the third cycle of unfinished business from World War I, meaning World War III, coming up around the bend because of the issues with Russia and China, we are in an incredible amount of instability right now, and all is not well, despite what even the usually trustworthy news sources would tell us, everything is out of whack right now. In my life, I've never seen a housing market this screwed up, although I was told about it from my parents. I've never seen a housing market this screwed up. I've never seen the monetary supply this jacked up. I have never seen the rate of inflation and the cost of goods and services skyrocket the way it has. And there's no end in sight the Fed has gotten us into a place that they really don't have solid moves out from, other than to slowly bring interest rates down. But once they do it, it's still going to jack with the market. I don't think they have a solid way out of this thing. They pumped and pumped and pumped and pumped all this volume. And now they're going to be fine. They're going to be fine with their 16th home somewhere. They're going to be fine. But for the average person who is barely making it, I feel really bad for people on fixed income right now. But also, another thing to consider is the effect of short-term rentals and Airbnbs on the housing situation. This has not been talked about. I have read a few articles vaguely referencing this, but since the rise of like Vrbo and Airbnb, the popularity of these short-term rentals, affordable housing for first-time home buyers has been swallowed up by groups who effectively do this, you know, buy up these houses and then turn them into short-term rentals. Now, there's a lot of call because of the housing situation for government regulation. Government regulation is not the answer to this. But here's the cycle. Here's the nasty, nice, nasty cycle. This is going to burn like you know what for people until the market corrects. People kept buying these smaller houses, the affordable houses, and then turn them into Airbnbs. And then now that market of rentals has swelled up so much that they're not earning what they used to. The competition is so much that it has driven prices down. Compensation is going correspondingly to that. But it's going to take a while until people realize, you know what, this ain't worth it. Let's just sell it. Sell the house and put it on the market. By the time that these houses end up getting on the market, I don't know what the interest rate's going to be. And I don't know what the state of people's going to be, because they may have whittled away their resources and eaten away at the principal that they would have saved for a down payment just to make ends meet. I don't know how this is going to work out. So typically when you reach cycles like this in history, you have two corresponding, two flip sides of the coin here. You have equity cycles and efficiency cycles. And these cycles really reflect the nature of money and the way that money is moving in an economy, but also how that corresponding movement is reflected in the voting aggregate. So we have historically been in an efficiency cycle, meaning efficiency cycles are characterized by less government regulation, more free floating of capital across borders, free trade, that sort of thing. Post-COVID, now we're moving towards an equity cycle, which typically is characterized historically by periods in economies more prominent with protectionism, tariffs, government regulation, labor is ascendant, labor is strong, unions are strong. This movement of equity, I mean efficiency cycles versus equity cycles, this movement of making things equal is a movement towards more regulation and more government oversight, because people ultimately feel powerless and they cry for someone to save them. And guess who likes to jump in right at times like this? Socialist governments, which ultimately make things worse, as we know. But what I'm really wanting to drive home here is that even for people who are historically literate and preparedness-minded, this is a really, really choppy sea to try and navigate right now. So if you feel like this world ain't right, there's nothing wrong with you. Let me assure you, history would agree with this. What we are experiencing right now is like, for someone, if you've ever witnessed someone coming off of alcohol or drugs, detoxing. We are detoxing right now, or trying to detox from free cheap money, excess cheap money. And we overdosed on it. So now that our economy and the world as a consequence of this have overdosed on cheap money, now comes the pains of withdrawal. As the Fed tightens down on the interest rates and drives them up to try and slow the movement of money throughout economies globally, we're going to be feeling pain. There is no one-stop shop easy solution for this. Historically, precious metals are a store of value, a land that can produce for you. But that is not, having land is not the escapist dream world that a lot of people in homesteading and preparedness think it is. Unless you're dealing with a very small plot of land, You're going to end up having to have tractor and implements and diesel fuel and all this stuff to make it work, unless you want to do everything by hand, which requires manpower. And it's not this escapist dream world that people think it is. So in times like this, I've just tried to be quiet and listen to the Lord on what it is that He would have for me to do. And when you look at the mitigatable costs associated with living nowadays, there's a lot of money wasted in different areas, and a lot of it is wasted on the medical industrial complex. A lot of money is wasted keeping people dependent upon pharmaceutical supplies and pharmaceutical prescriptions and things that really they don't need. They don't need them because there are better, easier ways. Easier as far as less chemically dependent, which means diet and lifestyle choices, which for some people is not easier. But there are things that you can do to mitigate that. Healthcare is a huge ripoff in the United States. Pretty much everything except for emergency and trauma is going to burn through your money and not give you solid solutions. And that's God's honest truth. It's a waste of money, and it keeps people perpetually as slaves to a system that wants to extract as much out of them until they die. And that is one of the other ways that money is being siphoned off of people. So it's a mitigatable expense if you can wean yourself off of needing their services and their drugs. The herbal way is the best way to do this, in my opinion. It also makes you freer, because in the days to come, this is one of the ways I think that they're going to clamp down on people and try to control them and try and herd them into the cattle car of believing their narrative, their big state narrative. Friends, the situation that we find ourselves in right now is pretty unprecedented in American history. The amount of money that is circulating right now, the amount of fiat currency that we're seeing, is just astronomical. And it's run away from them. It's run away from them. They're trying to get a hold of it, but we're hurting. We're in the DTs of cheap money withdrawal. And this is going to burn for a while, and we're going to have to ride it out. And I don't know. People have asked me, like, when are housing costs going to come down? And, you know, when are like food costs going to come down? I don't have any reasonable expectation that that's going to happen for at least another year to 2 years. And people were celebrating Wednesday's inflation numbers, like, oh, it was just, what was it, like 3%, 3.2? Oh, it was just this. It's like, but yeah, okay, you may have something that's slightly worse than 2%, but you are still incurring inflation month after month and year after year for people whose purchasing power is already shrinking with their dollar and whose wages are not growing commensurate to it. So this is going to be a hot button issue come election time. The question is, do we have enough people in the United States who just want to be free rather than who want to be fed? You think there might be a reason why they're letting people hurt? Mm-hmm. Unless the monetary supply is unhooked from governments, there will not be any type of true freedom for people. This is one of the reasons why cryptocurrency has gained traction, because people are seeing that in a digital world, to have transactability in absence of a third party mediated by a government or by, for instance, a credit card company who decides, I don't want you buying firearms today. Gone. I don't want you to be a person today. You have a political position that is not compatible with where we are. You don't get to purchase anything. The money is a huge part of this, the money supply. Many of us in the preparedness world have known this for a while. But friends, I wish I had more positive news for you today, but I wanted to really speak about what we're dealing with here. This is not new in the grand scheme of history. The degree to which fiat currency is being exploited by our federal government and the non-federal entity, the Federal Reserve, the degree to which this is being exploited is fairly new. But these cycles throughout history of depreciating currency and then the resulting insurgence in the population, that is as predictable as like it going dark at nighttime. So let me encourage you in the days to come, read your history. Read your Bible and pray. If you know history and you know the scriptures and basic math, you need no precious little else in this world. And increase as best as possible your capabilities. Even if you're stuck with really crappy decisions to make, always make it a point if you can. If you're confronted with decisions, position yourself to have more options each iteration. So if you have a choice between living at place A or place B And place A gives you slightly more land that has water on it versus place B that gives you the like big, fancy, beautiful house. It depends on other factors, but which one's going to give you more options in a scenario that is unhappy? Every choice we make should be positioning ourselves more towards self-sufficiency if possible. And we rely on the Lord ultimately for our provision each day. As He has promised, our Father knows what our needs are even before we ask Him. And He has determined our portion for us long ago. And we just need to be faithful and serve Him. Because ultimately, He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And He's got it. I hope the video was helpful for y'all today. If you did enjoy the video, I hope you'll subscribe to me here on YouTube, Patriot Nurse. You can also support me and stay with me on Patreon, Subscribestar, Cryptocurrency, and PayPal. I got links below. My last class of this year and for the foreseeable future is in Knoxville, Tennessee, and that is next month. I have two offerings, Medical Prep 101, 201, and 301. It's a four-day class. That's going to be the second week in August. And then the following week, we have the three-day course, which is Herbal Theory and Prep with Patriot Nurse. In order to take the three-day herbal preparation class, you must have had the 4 days as a mandatory prerequisite for it. So if you want to get in with me this year, you can take everything that I offered in one fell swoop in Knoxville. But that is the last course that I am teaching this year in person and probably for the foreseeable future. I've got some shifting priorities in my life, and I'm going to put my efforts for things that are of eternal value. So I hope the video was helpful for y'all. Have a very blessed weekend, y'all. For now, it's Patriot Nurse signing off, and I'll see y'all later. Bye.